the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Standing here in this pulpit makes my hands sweat, my knees shake, and my voice quiver. It's not that preaching per se is such a nerve-wracking experience, it's just that preaching here is endlessly intimidating. This is no normal pulpit. This is no normal chapel. You are no normal gathering of people. Yet somehow I find myself as a lowly seminary student standing in the very place where respected professors, heads of our sister church bodies, and even district and synodical presidents have stood to deliver some of the most eloquent and beautiful messages that I have ever heard in my life. I find myself in the midst of this awe-inspiring chapel, which reaches higher than any of my theological insights could ever fly. And I find myself amongst a gathering of people who have taught me what it means to preach God's word and to be a leader for the church. As a preacher, you have to know your hearers. You have to know your context. And that is exactly what has me so nervous today. Perhaps it was random, but I suspect it was no mistake that the text I was assigned is Romans 6, verses 1 through 11. After all, anyone leaving the seminary to become a Lutheran pastor ought to be able to preach a decent message on Romans 6. It's one of the clearest baptismal texts in the entirety of the Bible. Romans 6 links Christ's death to our baptism, and it boldly proclaims that by means of our baptism, we are united to Christ's resurrection. His resurrection becomes the promise of our resurrection. Because we've been baptized, we've been unified with Christ in such a way that what is his becomes ours. New life, resurrection, freedom from the dominion of death. All these things are ours by virtue of the grace of God for the sake of Jesus Christ, delivered to us in the sacrament of holy baptism. As children of God, nothing could be more important to our daily lives and to our own self-image than this beautiful baptismal reality. I love this text because it connects with people so well in a variety of situations. I preached this text at my vicarage congregation to urge the people to remember their baptism and the reality of the spiritual regeneration that it has accomplished within them. Using this text, I've taught a class of sixth grade students, some of them baptized and some of them not, about the blessings of baptism and the assurance that it brings to our lives as God comes to us of his own accord to claim us as his own. And I've even shared these words with a grieving family who's wondered how they could really know the fate of their loved one. These words from Romans 6 have a way of truly speaking to people in a wide variety of contexts, even in a context like this one, even to this most peculiar gathering of a seminary community. This morning, in the context of this unique gathering, I challenge you to hear the words of Romans 6 with the most familiar passages removed. I'll read to you only Paul's opening words, verses 1 through 2, and then his closing words, verses 10 through 11. Paul writes, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it?" And he goes on, "For the death Christ died, he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." You see, the opening premise of Paul's discussion of baptism is that as baptized Christians, we are not to continue to live in sin. And his conclusion is that because we've been united with Christ in his death and his resurrection, we must now actively grasp the reality of our death to sin and our new life in Christ. That's not to say that our baptism isn't passive. Nothing can undo it. But our baptism has unmistakable implications for the way that we live our lives actively in the context of our baptismal unity. As baptized children of God, we've been called out of our old lives, marked by an embrace of sin, into a new life, marked by an abhorrence of sin. We've been freed from slavery to sin for freedom from sin. Baptism is not only a proclamation of pardon, but it's also the foundation of our faithfulness. As Lutherans, we do a spectacular job of proclaiming the sweet gospel assurance of our baptism, but we often underemphasize the importance of Paul's introduction to the topic of our baptismal assurance and his conclusion based upon it. We are dead to sin through baptism, and we must live out this reality. This will, of course, mean something slightly different for each one of us. For some, it will mean that God is beckoning you to let go of that nagging doubt about whether or not you can truly trust that God has wiped away all of your sins. For others, it will mean that God is urging you to leave behind your abuse of his grace, to once again realign your life toward godly living in accordance with his commands. What it specifically means for you, only you and God fully know. But just because only you and God fully know it doesn't mean that you can just ignore it. Things change as you live your baptism. Devotion to the things of this world is replaced by an ever-increasing devotion to God. Loose language gives way to controlled speech. Disregard for God's word is overthrown by a love for the Lord's wisdom. Contempt for those in authority is exchanged for respect. Hatred superseded by love. Lust curbed by restraint. Dishonest gain is swapped for generosity. Lies are traded for truthfulness. And a desire for that which belongs to others becomes a desire to give of ourselves. Being one of God's baptized is a high calling indeed. So this morning I simply ask you to do this. Remember your baptism. Remember that in those sweet sacramental waters, you have been united with Christ and he will never separate from you. His death is your death. His resurrection is your resurrection. His grace and his mercy are given to you freely. There is nothing sweeter than that. But when you do remember your baptism, remember also the high calling to which you've been summoned and for which you've been equipped by the Holy Spirit. Flee sin and consider yourselves dead to it. You are alive in Christ Jesus. In the context of this unique and somewhat intimidating gathering of people, God is calling us to live our lives actively within the context of our baptism, united with Christ in a way that permeates our entire being. This is his will. Pray that his will would be done among us also. Pray that Christ would enable us to live a faithful life within the reality of the forgiveness that is ours in baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.